Okay, we were talking about the mystery around the Van Gogh's death.
That's right. I was saying that because we had our Dutch premiere in the Van Gogh Museum last week, so I was speaking to the senior researcher at the Van Gogh Museum, and he said that actually looking into one of the theories that we have in the film about Dr. Gachet revealing some kind of medical knowledge about Theo, his brother, and this was something that we just imagined up after all our research. The Van Gogh Museum and other...
In Amsterdam,
and other Van Gogh academics are still researching this area about his state of mind in his final weeks. And there is this rumour from the early 20th century that Vincent was shot by boys accidentally or maybe in some kind of argument. And The thing about this, there are holes in the events in the final day of his life, and this narrative of the boys does actually provide solutions to some of these problems and these holes in his final day, which is why we also wanted to investigate that in our film. But historically, there is no proof for that theory as of yet. But this is a story that will continue to roll on. Just like also the investigation into what exactly was the mental illness that Vincent suffered from, because after 120 years of speculation and research, no one really knows what his condition was.
And according to the time, we would put people in psychiatric hospital where they were just artists, not mad or not completely insane.
Well, with Vincent, I mean, he did have a very severe mental breakdown, and he was suffering from hallucinations. And so, he did get to a point where he lost his mind. Mm-hmm. But I think that, from my point of view, he actually drove himself to mental illness. And as we know today, people can recover from bouts of mental illness. It's not necessarily a lifelong condition. Mm-hmm. Because in the months before he had his breakdown, he was working 14 hours under the Mediterranean sun. He wasn't drinking really any water. He was drinking quite a lot of brandy. He was smoking his pipe all the time. He was eating badly, and he was inventing a new incredible vision of painting. So he was working, his brain was working really hard, and when I read about him, I'm surprised he didn't break down earlier, that he managed to with his lifestyle, that he managed to last so long before he had a breakdown, because I think he had a complete collapse prompted by his lifestyle and his very focused hard work on his painting.
I was thinking all the artists at that time would take some drugs like opium. It was very common. Like Baudelaire, he would need to have a lot of opium and wine in his body to be able to create.
Well, surprisingly, Vincent, he drank wine and brandy. It's a bit of a myth that Vincent was drinking absinthe, because he was drinking absinthe when he was living in Paris in Montmartre and hanging out with Toulouse-Lautrec and Bernard and Pierre Tanguy. But it wasn't very common for it to be served in the south of France, and so he was more wine and brandy man. He wasn't really a drug addict, but he was obsessive compulsive. So, for example, it's been written that he could drink up to 40 cups of coffee a day. So he was pretty hyper.
And working on Van Gogh's works and painting, do you have a favorite one? And Dorothée has got a favorite one.
Well, I mean, while we were writing the script and working on the film, our favourites tended to vary depending on what we were working on. But for me, there are two that are outstanding favourites always, and that's Café Terrace at Night, which, if anyone gets a chance to go and see it at the Krullemuller Museum, is just stunning in the flesh. And then the second one is the... his final portrait, which he did in Saint-Rémy with the swirling blue around him, which is in the Musée d'Orsay. And each time he did over 30 self-portraits. And for me, when I look at that one, that's the closest I ever feel to knowing and touching Vincent. And Dorota, always one of her favourites, and there was no way we would ever not have it in the film, was the night cafe. You know, that place where, you know, you can go mad and have a breakdown, and we thought it was just a very startling vision of the kind of seedier underbelly of the places that he used to hang out in.
I've read that you studied at Oxford economy, politics, and philosophy. How come did you get to fine arts?
Well, I mean, I my first degree was in politics, philosophy, and economics, and I was always much more interested in storytelling, and so I worked in theatre, and then I discovered film. And so it was quite natural for me to move over into film. I was a history teacher as well, so I love history, but I love telling stories that are set in history. So it was really something I did at a young age, go to university, and I went back and did a second degree in filmmaking, and that was really my passion.
And when you're talking about history, do you have a period in history you prefer?
Oh, my favourite period of history is immediately after World War I. It felt like a time in European history and world history when there are many possible ways in which the future could unfold. And, of course, it unfolded in the way that it did. And I always think, what if we had managed to construct the world slightly differently after World War One, and we could have dealt with a lot of the problems that are existing now. But that's always where you're thinking.
There are some echoes with nowadays. Nowadays.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you look at what's happening in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe, and the political changes within Europe, I think there are a lot of lessons to be learned in looking at the history immediately after World War One, because, you know, it's always would be good if we could avoid making the same mistakes, but we often do.
And what about your movie, Loving Vincent? Are you going to show it to young generation, young students?
Yes, very much. I mean, I know that in France they're looking at showing it to people who are 10, 11. We always imagine this as a film for teenagers as well, as a way of introducing them to Vincent's work, Vincent's letters, but also different ways of making films. So we've done lectures at animation schools because we'd like to encourage other people to try this technique, because we think it's a very interesting visual technique, and it doesn't just have to be stories about painters. There's many ways that we think that this could give a unique look to the right kinds of stories. And also, I think, you know, it brings up issues about mental health, which is something that one in three adults suffer from. And so I think the more education that there is around mental health issues, the better prepared people can be for encountering those kind of situations in their adult life.
And working...
Grab some water.
Working on Vincent van Gogh work, you have to investigate, to read a lot of things, to visit a lot of museum. Do you feel closer to Vincent?
Absolutely. I mean, for this film, we would visit the Van Gogh Museum, who were our research partners on the film. Mm-hmm. We'd visit four times a year. Once a year, I'd go to the Kruller Müller Museum, which has just an incredible collection. Several times we went to visit the Musée d'Orsay, and also we sent our head of painting here to Switzerland, because in Switzerland you have two of our main characters. Postman Roulant is in Winterthur, and Margaret Gachet is in Basel, and they're actually 8 paintings in our film, reimagined in our film, that are in public collections in Switzerland. So I think it's the fourth of any country in the world in terms of the amount of paintings we included that are in public collections. And for me, it almost feels like family when I walk into a room of Van Gogh paintings. And I've been, you know, very privileged in that sometimes the museums have let me walk around the room of Van Gogh paintings on my own. And so it's just a really incredible experience to see these paintings again. And I can imagine every time I visit them, it's going to bring me something new. And, you know, some people ask me if I'm bored of Vincent or sick of Vincent, and absolutely not. I mean, I think he's an incredible example of a human being, very interesting and inspiring man, and his work is beautiful. And I'm still discovering new things, so I will keep loving Vincent.
Unfortunately, we have to leave you. Do you have something to tell us about your project already?
About a new project? Oh, well, we want to do a painted horror film, and we want to be inspired by the late paintings of Goya.
Thank you very much, Hugh. Dziękuję bardzo. Proszę pana.
Dziękuję bardzo.
En polonais?
No, the last one.
Do you mind signing? No.